Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. The news continues to report one oil drilling or refining mishap after another. BP has fined billions for the Deepwater Horizon spill. Transocean, the actual operator of that platform, is fined millions for its responsibility in that disaster. BP and Chevron are in lawsuits over refinery explosions and leaks in Texas and California. And most recently, Shell is embarrassed as its prototype floating rig for Arctic exploratory drilling breaks free from its tow and runs aground in Alaska, perhaps damaged beyond repair, losing millions more, or at least unable to meet the company's plan for drilling this summer in Arctic waters. These are just the largest and most publicized examples, only a few among the other smaller reported and unreported incidents of failed management, failed operation, and failed technology. The oil companies counter with statistics citing all the successful rigs and the world's compulsive need for more oil and gas, even as the United States, for example, reports supply surpluses and discusses the possibility of becoming an oil-exporting nation. To sustain this behavior, and especially to protect supporting subsidies and exemptions, the U.S. Congress is besieged by oil lobbyists and political donations, just as the public, via television advertising, is inundated with self-justifying assertions of these oil companies' contributions to education and culture, jobs and taxes. These arguments, while transparent, are nonetheless effective, at least perhaps until now, a moment when continuing spills and accidents, increasing transparency and revelation of hypocritical behaviors, and the contradictions of their own arguments and actions are increasing political awareness of the company's collective fecklessness and hostility to the public interest and the environment. Add to that the ever-increasing understanding of the damage of fracking to the land and social fabric, and you have a time when the industry, defending itself by doubling down on its bankrupt arguments, may be vulnerable to changing politics and courageous leadership. U.S. President Barack Obama disappointed environmentalists when, in his first term, he opened the Arctic to exploratory drilling despite all arguments regarding the exceptionally hazardous conditions of operating there and the disastrous consequences of accidents for this fragile environment already challenged by climate change, itself a result of the world's irresponsible consumption of fossil fuels, source of the company's profits. Obama's decision enabled this vicious and unnecessary cycle beyond either need or logic. But the second term need not maintain the cycle further. And indeed, as the president has numbered climate change and energy independence among the most important issues for the next 4 years of his presidency, there is an opportunity to reverse that decision and declare the Arctic immune from such intrusion now and for all time. This will require leadership. But there are ample precedents in the declaration of vast areas of the ocean under national jurisdiction as protected areas. As noted in a recent World Ocean Radio list of top ocean events of 2012, Australia has completed protection of its entire coastal zone through such designation, denying exploitation of natural resources, be they oil, minerals, fish, or habitat for other marine species, in this vast continental circumference unless under strict conservation management practices. The United States has its own system of marine protected areas, which might serve as both model and instrument for the protection of Arctic waters under American jurisdiction, just as occurred when President George W. Bush created such an area, the largest then in the U.S. system, in the northern Hawaiian Islands. It is time for politicians to recognize the reality of oil companies' record of accident and denial, to understand the public interest inherent in responsible protection and management of ocean resources, and to lead based on policy that meets our energy needs through conservation, improved technology, alternative production, sustainable values, and accountable practices. It is not good enough to react to feckless behavior after the fact with fines and regulatory slaps on the wrist. That is not leadership. What is required, and there can be no more perfect moment or action, is for President Obama to use a declaration of Arctic waters as a protected area to stand up to the oil companies, to confront their historical invincibility, and to put the logic of alternative energy and innovative practice back on the table as an essential element of his strategy and his legacy through direct and courageous action. Such a decision would have triple benefit. First, it would protect one of the last great unspoiled natural areas of the world and promote comparable action by other nations with Arctic oversight. Second, it would send a message to the oil industry, the dominant private sector of the world economy, that it can no longer act against public interest, using public resources and taxpayer subsidies, regardless of their financial contributions, casuistry, and indifference to the environment. And third, it would demonstrate a commitment to and beginning of a necessary shift in American policy in international climate negotiations, treaty affirmation such as the Law of the Sea, and national leadership in a world that must abandon its dependence on fossil fuels and confront the agents of that regressive, destructive behavior now in the name of national and world security. Is that not benefit enough? Is that not reason enough to act now? We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory. Visit us online at worldoceanobservatory.org. World Ocean Radio is produced in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.